Unlikely Leaders, Chapter 58, A Glorious Future is Before Us. Many centuries have passed since the apostles rested from their labors, but the history of their sacrifices for Christ is still among the most precious treasures of the church. As these messengers of the cross went out to preach the gospel, there was a revelation of God's glory like no one had ever seen before. They carried the gospel to every nation in a single generation. At the beginning, some of the apostles were uneducated men, but under the instruction of their master, they gained a preparation for the great work committed to them. Grace and truth ruled in their hearts, and they lost sight of self. How closely they stood by the side of God and connected their personal honor to His throne. Any attack on the gospel seemed to cut deeply into their hearts, and with every power they had, they battled for the cause of Christ. They expected much, and they attempted much. Their understanding of truth and their power to withstand opposition increased the more they followed God's will. Whenever they spoke, Jesus was the theme. As they proclaimed Christ, their words moved hearts, and multitudes who had cursed the Savior's name now identified themselves as disciples of the crucified one. The apostles encountered hardship, grief, slander, and persecution, but they rejoiced that they were called to suffer for Christ. They were willing to commit everything to their Lord, and the victories they won for Christ revealed the grace of heaven. The apostles built the church on the foundation that Christ had established. Peter says, "Coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. In the quarry of the Jewish and the Gentile world, the apostles worked, bringing out stones to lay on the foundation. Paul said, "You are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord." Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. "I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. The apostles built upon the Rock of Ages. To this foundation they brought the stones that they quarried from the world. The enemies of Christ made their work very difficult. They had to struggle against bigotry, prejudice, and hatred. Kings and governors, priests and rulers tried to destroy the temple of God. But faithful Christians carried the work forward, and the structure grew, beautiful and symmetrical. Sometimes the workers were almost blinded by the mists of superstition around them, or were almost overpowered by the violence of their opponents. But with faith and courage they kept moving forward. One after another the builders fell. Stephen was stoned. James was killed by the sword. Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified. John was exiled. Yet the church grew. New workers took the place of those who fell, and they added stone after stone to the building. Centuries of fierce persecution followed, but always there were Christians who considered the building of God's temple more important than life itself. The enemy stopped at nothing to halt the work committed to the Lord's builders. But God raised up workers who defended the faith clearly and powerfully. Like the apostles, many died in the line of duty, but the building of the temple went steadily forward. The Waldenses, John Wycliffe, Huss and Jerome, Martin Luther and Zwingli, Cranmer, Latimer, Knox, the Huguenots, John and Charles Wesley, and many others brought to the foundation material that will endure for eternity. And those who so nobly promoted the distribution of God's word and in heathen lands have prepared the way for the last great message. These also have helped to build the structure. We may look back through the centuries and see the living stones of God's temple gleaming like beams of light through the darkness. Throughout eternity, these precious jewels will shine with increasing brilliance, revealing the contrast between the gold of truth and the dross of error. How we help the building. Paul, the other apostles, and all the righteous since them have acted their part in building the temple. But the structure is not yet complete. We who are living in this age are to bring to the foundation material that will stand the test of fire, gold, silver, and precious stones. To those who build this way for God, Paul speaks words of encouragement. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. The Christian who presents the word of life faithfully is bringing to the foundation material that will last, and in the kingdom he will be honored as a wise builder. As Christ sent his disciples out, so today he sends the members of his church. If they will rely on God, they will not work in vain. God said to Jeremiah, "Do not say, 'I am a youth,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you." Then the Lord touched his servant's mouth, saying, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 7 and 9. And he tells us to go out to speak the words he gives us, feeling his holy touch on our lips. There is nothing that the Savior wants more than people who will represent his spirit and his character to the world. The church is God's agency to proclaim his truth. If she is loyal to him, obedient to all his commandments, no power can stand against her. Zeal for God and his cause moved the disciples to give the gospel message with mighty power. Should not a similar zeal ignite our hearts with a determination to tell the story of Christ and him crucified? It is the privilege of every Christian not only to look for, but to hasten the coming of the Savior. Nothing can stop the triumph of truth. If the church will put on the robe of Christ's righteousness and withdraw from all allegiance with the world, she will be ready to enter the dawn of a glorious day. Truth, passing by those who reject it, will win. When the message of God meets opposition, he gives it additional force. Filled with divine energy, it will cut its way through the strongest barriers and triumph over every obstacle. What sustained Jesus during his life of toil and sacrifice? Looking into eternity, he saw the happiness of those who had received pardon and everlasting life through his humiliation. We may have a vision of the future, the blessedness of heaven. By faith, we may stand on the threshold of the eternal city and hear the gracious welcome given to those who cooperated with Christ in this life. As the words are spoken, "Come, you blessed of my Father," they throw their crowns at the feet of the Redeemer, exclaiming, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. Then the redeemed greet the ones who led them to the Savior, and all of them unite in praising Jesus, who died so that human beings could have the life that is measured by the life of God. The conflict is over. Songs of victory fill all heaven. These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. The Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Revelation chapter 7, verses 14 to 17.